We're holding Pirkei Rav Elazar, the Medrash Pirkei Rav Elazar, the 26th chapter, Perek Shisha the Esrim, page Pei Dalid. You guys have it? That.
I like to listen.
Okay. The 26th chapter, Perek Shisha the Esrim, page Pei Dalid. Tell me when you have it.
Yes.
So we're doing Pirkei Rav Elazar, 26th chapter. Asra nisunot ninas Avraham Avinu v'aman bechulan. Avraham, our forefather, was given 10 nisyonot. And we know the word nisayon can mean a test, yes. And nisayon can mean an uplifting experience. And he stood up to all of them. Betzafui alfanav, and God had foreseen shatidin banav lenasot hakadosh baruch hu asra nisyonot, that Avraham's children would, so to speak, test God with 10 different tests, 10 times that they try God's patience, so to speak. And God did as He always does. He created the cure before He created the punishment.
Rabbi, sorry, 10 is a very significant number, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just realized, 10 for minyan, 10 makot, 10 tests.
It's true. If we ever get a chance, we'll learn the Maharal, and he discusses the significance of each number. He goes through the numbers, discusses what each number represents. It's very long and complicated. And Kabbalistic. So if you show up Shabbos morning, sometime in a few years, we'll get there, Bezrat Hashem. Stay in touch. And that doesn't get recorded. Yeah, as Hashem will talk about it then the class night. So what Hashem did was he preceded in creating the cure to the punishment, meaning the Jews are going to deserve punishment. They're going to sin, they're going to test God's patience, so to speak, 10 times. So God made them have the merits that would protect them from punishment for what they'd done. The merits were the Avram Avinu standing up to 10 tests. V'nisal basra nisyonot. And therefore God gave Avram Avinu 10 nisyonot of his own. Nisayon HaRishon, the first nisayon, kshenolad Avram Avinu, when Avram, our forefather, was born, bikshu kol gdolei ha-malchut lo-hogo. All the great people of the kingdom wanted to kill him. V'nichba mitach la'al 13 shana. And he hid under the ground for 13 years. Shlo ra'al lo shem shireach. And in that time he didn't see sun or moon. He was in hiding. La'al 13 shana. After 13 years, yatzah mitach la'aretz, he was able to leave his hiding place underground, medaber b'lashon hakodesh, and he spoke lashon hakodesh. Gentlemen, didn't we do this once?
It sounds familiar.
Right, I also think so.
Maybe we are partway through the chapter.
So Chazal tell us that if a person has no language spoken to them, they'll end up speaking Lashon HaKodesh. There was once a king who tried it and the kids walked out speaking Lashon HaKodesh. In modern times, science says it wouldn't work. Science says there's a window in which a child's mind can grasp a language. If you don't teach him any language during that window of time, he'll never grasp any language. And as a child's mind is developing, if you teach him a language within a certain age, that his mind grasps one language, then in the future he could learn other languages. But if you don't open that, if you don't catch that window, he'll never grasp any languages. In Chazal's time, they seem to say it was different. And historically, it is recorded that there was a king who tried this and it worked. So I don't know how that works. And that's what this medrash seems to indicate. Avraham Avinu went into hiding and walked out speaking Lashon HaKodesh. He was disgusted with trees that people served and the idols people served. And he had confidence in the shadow of his fashioner, his creator. Avram said, Hashem, you control armies, praised is the man that has faith in you. So the Medrash is saying, Avram's first test was the fact that when he was born, they tried to kill him. They saw, the stargazers foresaw that he was a threat and he had to go into hiding, and when he left hiding he hadn't spent the first 13 years of his life, he hadn't spent with other people. So they had no reason to believe what they believe. If a child grows up and everyone teaches him, survivals, this is what helps us, this is what your forefathers did, this is what works. So it has an impact on him. But Avraham Avinu, because they foresaw in their stargazing that he would be a threat, so they wanted to kill him. They wanted to kill him. He had to go into hiding. He didn't spend the time like all the other children learning about the importance of idol worship. So he walked out of the idol, out of his cave. He walked out of hiding and looked at everyone else and said, "What are you guys doing back down to a tree? What's wrong with you? Why are you back down to an idol?" And now he was already 13 years old. You all convince him. That seems to be one understanding, at least in this Midrash. Notice that I put in my own understanding that they wanted to kill him based on the stargazers. Another possible understanding is that he already started out saying, hey, monotheism is right, and then they wanted to kill him, and then he had to go into hiding. But the simple reading of the text doesn't seem to indicate that way, because the simple reading of the text says that when he walked out after 13 years he was disgusted with idol worship. Doesn't say that before the 13 years he was disgusted with idol worship. That's why I explained the Midrash the way I did. Let's continue. So the first test was the fact that he had to spend 13 years in hiding. You know, we always think if something's suddenly tough on us, so we say, God, I'm such a good person, I've been doing mitzvahs, why am I suffering? And the Tanakh keeps teaching us that's not the way it works. If you're a good person, the part of the test you're going to have to live up to is that things are going to be tough, and not one day, and not one year, a while. Like Avraham Avinu, 13 years he's on the run, and at the end of the 13 years he could show his face on planet Earth. Until then he has to stay in hiding. So the fact that he has 13 years, that's a massive test, and that's test number one. Nisayon Hasheni, the second test, Netanu Bevet Asuim Esa Shanim. He makes it out from underground. He's no longer a fugitive. He shows his face. What do? They put him in jail for 10 days. Shalosh Bekuta V'Sheva Bekaldu. 3 years in Kuta, 7 years in Kaldu. V'Yeshomim, some say Shalosh Bekaldu V'Sheva Bekuta. Some say it was 3 years in Kaldu and 7 in Kuta. Now, this concept that Avraham Avinu was imprisoned, the Rambam writes that in his days, the Egyptian history books recorded this. You could find this on record, in the prison records. The Rambam says in his days, you could still see the record books. The Ramban quotes the Rambam that writes that in his days, you could still see the record books that record how Avraham was imprisoned in their prison. So this is the Midrash tells it to us, but the Rambam says in his day it was still on the records. They still had records showing it.
Wait, question. Does he say there were Egyptian records or Greek records?
He says Egyptian. At least what the Ramban quotes. Ramban in Igel Torah Hashem Tmima. What? Okay. La'achar esar shanim shalchu v'viu tom tanu b'toch kivshan esh. After 10 years that he's in prison, and they ask him, are you convinced? You're joining our pagan ways? He says, no. So they throw him into this burning furnace. U'melech ha'kavod pashat yad yaminu v'yitzilom b'toch kivshan esh. And God extended his right hand and rescued him from the burning furnace. And as the verse says, Vayomer Elav, we're holding the top of page Pehei, the second line. Vayomer Elav, God said to him, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem Asher Tziticho Mo Kastim. I took you out of that burning furnace. Nisayon HaShlishi. So the first two tests, first one took 13 years, the second one took 10 years. Long, long tests in which he was suffering. And the third test was, Titlom Bet Avim Mishpach Tov Ve'Ol Charan. After all that, he makes it out alive. Everyone says, wow, look at him. He's a miracle. Avraham Avinu, he walked out of the burning furnace unscathed. What does God tell him? Travel. Leave your hometown. Leave where you're famous. Leave your father's family. Leave your family. And he's brought to Haran. And there, when he's in Haran, so to add salt to injury, so to speak, to make the test even harder, he loses his father and he loses his mother. And here the Midrash tells us his mother's name was Amtalai. The fact that a person has to constantly go back and forth and back and forth, traveling is harder on a person than anything else. And how do we know that God made Avram travel and travel and travel? As the verse says, God told him, go for yourself. Go from your land, then go from your birthplace. Go, go, keep going, travel. Avram's life was spent traveling, and Chazal tell us, traveling is difficult for a person, and that was the third test. The third test was to leave his family, leave his home territory, to travel. All of this were part of the third test. Nisayon Avi, the fourth test. From the time the world was created, there was never a famine. Suddenly Avram is told, go to the land of Israel, and for the first time in world history, there's a famine. And it wasn't a worldwide famine. The only place in the world there was famine is in the land of Canaan. Here he is spending his life preaching, God runs the world, he controls everything, he chooses what will be in this world. And God appears to him, finally, after years of preaching this, he has a revelation, he's convinced it's prophecy, God tells him, go to Canaan. So we think, well, that's easy, go to Canaan. He goes to Canaan, he shows up in Canaan, and for the first time in world history, and in the only place in world history to this point, there's a famine in the land of Canaan. Now what's everyone supposed to think? God, if you're running the show, and you just told me to come here, why are you doing this to me? No. That's a test. Is he going to say that or is he not going to say that? And this, we see time and again, the Torah teaches us, don't expect that because you're doing what's right, things are going to go smoothly. Quite the contrary. You're going to do what's right, and what's the difficulties are part of your growth. That even though we do what's right, suddenly, hey, wait a second. Look at all the difficulties Avram has to encounter. So test number four is, he's coming to the land of Canaan. God told him to do so. And he finds the land has a famine. Lenasoto, to test him, ulorido l'mitzrayim, and to cause him to go down to Egypt. Shnamar, the verse states, v'hi ra'av ba'aretz. There was a famine in the land. V'yered Avram mitzrayima, Avram went down to Egypt, and these were two aspects of the test. One, that there was a famine. Two, that he had to go down to Egypt. Here, God just told him, go to Canaan. Doesn't God want me in Canaan? How come I have no choice? I'm forced down to Egypt? He doesn't ask that question. He stands up to the fourth test. Hanisayon ha-chamishi, the fifth test, shenitkechasara ishto lefor olisha. He goes down to Egypt, and his wife is abducted. V'chiyesh lecha adam shorei ishto nitkecha liish acher v'eino koret begadav. Is there a person who can see his wife taken by another man and doesn't tear his clothing? What's Avram to do? He shows up in Canaan. God told him, go to Canaan. There's a famine. He has to run down to Egypt. He runs down to Egypt. He's running out of money, running out of food. God told him, you go to Canaan. Things will be good for you. You'll be wealthy. You'll be famous. He came to Canaan. He didn't get wealthy. He didn't get fame. He's taking loans. And he has to go down to Egypt. What's he supposed to think at this point? He's supposed to think, God, I don't see you running the world. If you're running the world, then things would be very convenient. Life would be sweet. How come life is so bitter? No, he doesn't say that. He lives up to the test. He goes down to Mitzrayim. When he comes down to Mitzrayim, his wife is abducted. Notice, things get progressively worse. They don't get better. Does Avram turn to Hashem and say, what are you doing, God? Right? That's what we think he'd ask. What are you doing? You're running the world, right? I believe you were running the world. You seem to be running the world, but everything's going bad. If you're running the world, why is this happening to me? No, Avram doesn't ask that. And he lives up. He stands up to the fifth test. Yeah?
Is there something about why had that faith renewed? Because it's unbelievable.
Oh?
What was he thinking? Is something known about what was his deliberations? What's going on? Because when we think that's going on, we say this is going wrong. If it happened to me, it would be very, very bad, and I would fail, of course. But what made him to persevere in believing God? I'm on the right trail and believing this one God.
So this brings us to a question which really deserves a much longer answer, but we'll try to touch on possible aspects of the answer. The Rambam writes, in defining the mitzvah of knowing that Hashem exists, he writes, there is a mitzvah leida, to know that there's one cause that created the whole world. There's one being that controls the world, that created the world. That means that there is a way in which a person can logically deduce that. And if we think about it, then we'll recognize that it must be so. Yes. For if it weren't so, then there would be no obligation on a Noahide to keep the Torah. Right? So it must be that a Noahide, a person who doesn't have any tradition, can still logically deduce that God is running the world, and this is what God said. Now, what I just said can be contradicted. It can be contradicted in that we find from the time of creation to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, there was a steady tradition of people who knew that the world was created by God. Yes. And this is expanded on by the Ramban in Drashat Torat Hashem Tmima. He shows how from Adam to Noach everyone knew it. Noach walked out of the ark, he had seen Adam. And from Noach to Moshe there was a steady tradition. So Moshe didn't say anything that was exceptional in coming and saying, well, God created the world. That there were people who had this tradition that Adam knew there was no one else on the planet Earth. He looked around, he saw no one. Noach walked out of the ark and saw no one. There was such a tradition. And this is where what I said earlier can be contradicted. One can say, well, maybe the Noahites aren't obligated to deduce it logically, but they are obligated to eventually tap into this tradition, to search and search and search until they find out, either in the period from creation to Moshe, that there was creation, or from Moshe onward, that there was Maimed Har Sinai. One can make that claim. That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying isn't 100% rock solid. But what I'm saying is said by the Kovetz, Rav Yitzchak Elchanan in Kovetz He'aros. He wrote two works, Kovetz Arts and Kovetz Shiurim. And he, Rav Hanan Wasserman, not Rav Yitzchak Elchanan, Rav Hanan Wasserman. And he writes this in Kovetz Aros, he writes that this is so, that it must be that every non-Jew is obligated to arrive at this conclusion logically, and that's why they're obligated to do the Noahide laws. If we go with that route, so then it's a question of how strong he is with mind over matter. If this is right, then I'm going to stick to what's right. But Chazal tells us there's more to it than that. Chazal tell us that one of the things that preceded creation was the thought there will be an Avraham Avinu, this luminary onto the world. So that seems to indicate that Avraham had exceptional powers, like you're saying. It wasn't just mind over matter. That about him and us, we have to discuss a different time, because Chazal tells we are supposed to look back at the forefathers and think, when will my actions reach their level? A person is supposed to look up and say, I want to be there, I want to get there, I can get there, I will get there. There is an aspect where we're supposed to connect with them. We don't say, oh, they're up there and I'm down here, there's no connection. We also believe that they implanted within the genes of the Jewish people these strengths. When they stood up to these tests, they not only stood up for themselves, but they implanted within us the strength to stand up to tests. So back to the Medrash. So Avraham Avinu, his wife is abducted. And Ela Beitzanil Kecha, it was God's plan that she should be abducted. Shelo Karavela, God knew that even though Pharaoh is going to abduct Sarah, he won't come near her. He won't be able to touch her. So on one end, Avraham is standing outside the palace. He doesn't know what's going on in the palace that night. He has a whole night where he doesn't know what's happening to his wife. But God really knew that nothing would happen to his wife. Rabbi Tarfon omer ba'otah laila shenikcha Sarah imenu. Rabbi Tarfon says, that night that Sarah, our matriarch, was taken, otah laila lel Pesach haya, that was the night of Passover. So Avraham Avinu knows, tonight God is going to make great redemption for my children. I have a tradition, God told me, this is a special night in Jewish history. This is when God does good things for us. What's happening to me on this night? My wife is taken by Pharaoh. Otah laila lel Pesach haya ve'vi ha'kadosh kwal po'ovar beton geng dolin. And God brought great punishments, great afflictions on Pharaoh and his house, Leodio, to make known to Paro, Shekeinu atid lakot et Mitzrayim ben geng dolin, that this is an allusion to the future punishments that God would afflict the Egyptians with. Shneimaz, the verse states, Vayinaga Hashem et Paro negeng gedolim et beito. God afflicted Pharaoh and his house with great afflictions. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kocha Meir, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of the bold one, the son of Rabbi Akiva, says, Me'avato ta Paro, from Paro's great love for Sarah, katav la bishtar ktuba kol mamono. He wrote her in a treaty, in a document of marriage, all his wealth he wrote over to Sarah. Then kesef ben zahav avadim ben karkot, silver, gold, slaves, land, v'chatav la et eretz goshen achuza, And he wrote her that the land of Goshen is going to be an inheritance for her offspring. That's why the Jews, when they emigrated down to Egypt, they stayed in the land of Goshen. Shisha Sarai Menu, for that land belongs to Sarah, our matriarch. And he wrote over to Sarah, his daughter Hagar, his daughter from his concubine, he wrote over to Sarah that she should be her maid. And how do we know Hagar, the Egyptian, was a maid? And as the verse states, the verse clearly states that when Sarai, Abram's wife, couldn't bear a child, she had this servant, this Egyptian servant, whose name was Hagar. So Paro gets up early in the morning, he's rushing, he's scared, for he hasn't come near Sarah. This is unusual. He's been prevented from coming near her. Here he wanted her. Here he loved her. Here he had her, and he couldn't come near her. Avraham, he called Avram, and he said to Avram, "Hare ishtecha, here is your wife, and all the documents of her gifts, I'm giving it all with her. Lech, go, and do not remain in this land." As the verse states, "Hine ishtecha, behold, here is your wife. Kach, take everything else that comes with her, v'alech and go." And afterwards the verse states, "V'ayitzav alav paro anashim," Paro signed men to escort him out of the country. Kol mash natan l'sara, all the gifts that Paro gave Sarah, natan avimelech l'Avraham. Avimelech gave Avram. Avimelech thought Avram was her brother. So Avimelech was trying to be on good terms with him. Here he is, he's saying, "I'm taking your sister to be my wife." So later on, when Avimelech abducts Sarah, so he's giving gifts to Avram. Shnemar, as the verse states, "Vaykach Avimelech tzonu v'kav avedim u'shfachot." Avimelech took sheep and cattle and slaves and maids. So Hashem passed it all. Hashem passed it all to Avram when he came in the land of Canaan through the land of Plishtim. God had foreseen all of this. Avimelech, God made all the females of his house become barren, become constricted, that they couldn't bear any children. So a woman would sit there and she'd be having contractions, and they'd look inside and they'd say, "You're not open enough." And she'd say, "Yeah, but my stomach's bursting, I gotta go. The baby wants to come out." And they'd say, "Yeah, but the uterus isn't open, the baby can't come out." And one woman after another is staying there and they can't give birth. And the women are yelling in pain. Even the eggs of the lice wouldn't hatch. There was no productivity in Avimelech's house. Yerad Michael HaMalach v'shalav charbo l'orgo. Michael, the angel, came down, took out a sword to kill Avimelech. Avimelech sees this angel ready to kill him. As we saw the Medrash that said that every person that dies by the angel, you guys remember, has a look of fear on his face because he sees the angel a second before he dies. Right? We saw this Medrash, Shana Rabba, we learned this Medrash. We learned this Medrash, you remember, right? So, now, Avimelech sees the angel about to kill him, and he tells him, "Zed din mishpat emet lo geini b'ma shelo yadati." Is this the justice? Is this truth? You want to kill me for something I didn't know? Shenemar, as the verse states, "Hagoy gam tzadik tarog." Will you kill a nation even if he is righteous? What do you want from me? He told me she was his sister. So the angel told him, give him back his wife. He's a prophet. And he learned from you. Why did he answer you falsely? Because you misbehaved. When a man enters a city, the first thing you ask him is, "Do you have what to eat? Do you want to buy food? Do you want to know where you can purchase food?" That's how you behave. No one asks him, "Who's the woman with you?" If you ask him who's the woman with you, he automatically understands that he better watch out for his life. You're interested in the woman. The angel told him, "You give him back his wife, he'll pray for you and you'll live." Avram stood up and started praying before God. Imagine, this man's wife was abducted by this king. Avram's wife was taken forcibly. He spent the whole night, I'm pretty sure he didn't sleep that night. And now he has to pray for this man that his wife should be able to have kids. And he stands before God and he says, "Ribon kol olami, master of all the worlds, Adam barata lefuyav v'rivyav, why did you create humanity so that they should procreate? So to Avimelech and his house should procreate. Give them the ability to multiply. And God accepted his prayers. Now as the verse states, Avram prayed to God, God healed Avimelech and his wife, Amotav and his maids, and then they could give birth to children. And this brings us to the conclusion of the 26th chapter. What we saw tonight, Avram Avinu was tested 10 tests. This corresponded to the 10 tests that his children would, so to speak, test God's patience. And God gave us the merits that would protect us from our sins by testing Avram the 10 tests. Generations before, we would stand up and test our Creator. The first test was that when Avram was born, they wanted to kill him. He had to stay underground for 13 years. The second test was that they jailed him for 10 years and then threw him into a furnace, and God took him out alive. The third test was his traveling, and we said traveling is worse than anything. And amongst his travels, he lost both his father and his mother. The fourth test was that there was a famine only in the land of Canaan when he came to the land of Canaan after God had told him to go there. The fifth test was that his wife Sarah was abducted by Pharaoh, and he didn't know what was happening with her that night. And that was then the Medrash expanded that Pharaoh gave him all the gifts, and he gave him Hagar the daughter in the land of Goshen, and gold and silver and lands and slaves. And Avimelech also gave him all these gifts. And when Avimelech took Sarah, so he thought he'd have children. We skipped the line in the Medrash. The Medrash says all his house wasn't productive, and Avimelech abducted Sarah because he thought from her he'd be able to have children. He figured, if no one else in my house can have kids, I'll take Sarah, I'll be able to have kids. And this Medrash is learning, not like I said before, but rather that this was a plague in Avimelech's home, that everyone was not fruitful. God made Avimelech's home that even the lice didn't procreate. Everything stopped procreating. Everything was unfruitful until Sarah came, and when Avram prayed for him, so everything became fruitful. As God told him, he was about to die, and he said, I'm not to blame. And he said, no, you are to blame. You misbehaved. But if you ask Avram to pray for you, then you'll be better. And that's what happened, that when he returned Sarah to Avram and gave him all the gifts, he gave him all the gifts initially. Now that he returned Sarah to Avram, so then Avram prayed. He said, God, you created man to procreate. Please let Avimelech and his home procreate. And that's what happened.